Welcome to Embracing the Muse. I'm your host, Sally Jean Fox, the author of Meeting the Muse After Midlife. And I'm on a quest to discover and understand how we can live our richest, most meaningful, and creative lives at any age, and especially as we age. And I'll be interviewing island creatives to discover what they can share with us about the highs and lows, ups and downs, and possibilities of living and sustaining a creative life. I am delighted today to bring you my friend Amy Huggins, known to many of you on the island for a lot of her creative work and community service. And today she's bringing us an announcement about an extra special event that's going to happen in July that she's going to talk about that could help many. So we're going to get into that conversation. But before we do, I want to go behind the scenes with Amy. I've known Amy for quite some while. We were together in a writing group back in the, 2010 or something like
that? Probably 2010, 2011, something like that.
Right. And that was just before the moment or during the moment when your beloved spouse, Alan, was diagnosed with early onset dementia.
Right.
So I remember thinking that, you know, my heart went out to you and I watched how you artfully managed that. And I think a lot of people did because you were both beloved. You were great community contributors and feeling like, no, that's just not fair when somebody so great bites the bullet.
That's absolutely right, Sally.
And then we're all left wondering what can be done? What can we be doing to help with Alzheimer's, to help with dementia in any form? And I know that you actually found a way after Alan left, but you've been a Rotarian for a long time. How long? Many, many years of?
Probably about 10 to 12 years now.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
And the Rotarians have a really neat project called Music Mends Minds. Is
yeah,
that right?
It's Music, M-E-N-D-S, Mends.
Mends.
Minds, M-I-N-D-S, yes.
And as I understand, I want to hear a little bit more, that's about bringing music to people with dementia?
Yes, there's been excellent scientific research, Sally, showing that music does more than even playing chess or playing a sport or learning a foreign language to light up different areas of the whole brain. And it's understandable when you really think about it because it's emotive. You can hear a piece of music and be super sad or super happy, depending upon if you connect with that piece of music or not. But it also connects into the fine motor skill in your brain and different areas of it. So it just lights up more parts of the brain than anything else does. And when you go to Music Mends Minds, which is now at the Senior Center every Tuesday at 1:30 p.m., it's free. And it's for anyone who feels also isolated and lonely like we were in COVID,
mm-hmm.
as well as has any form of dementia or Alzheimer's, to go there to the Senior Center and just sing along with other people. And our songbook has a lot of oldies in it, like Beatles and old tunes. And Rich Osborne is another Rotarian, and he leads the whole group.
Yeah.
And he's a great musician and plays guitar. And then he invites other members of our community who play ukulele or...
Yeah, that is so fantastic. I mean, just for the social benefit alone.
Absolutely, the minds, social benefit.
But the music part, I mean, one of my secret passions is the way that music and sound can help us heal.
It can.
And I know because the great opera singer Renee Fleming has been studying this and bringing in research after research just to validate exactly what you're talking about, that music can be enjoyable, but it can be healing. And that even as we're losing cognitive capabilities, there's still a lot left to us.
Absolutely.
And we can find our way to
it. Even if we can't speak any longer, we can still sing. I mean, you've
seen
people like Tony Bennett, you know, and other people who've had Alzheimer's still get on stages and be able to sing.
Yeah, I love that. There's so much to be learned there. And I'm so grateful that you're doing it for the community because the separate point, but I just feel like in the world of dementia, we need to focus on what people can do.
Yes.
And what's available to them and the joy that can still be there, instead of lamenting the, you know, the sadness that goes with it as well.
And the losses.
And the losses, you know. But that's a great contribution. And then I also know that you've been a yoga teacher for, it seems like forever, but you did have a start when you switched somehow from being a successful MBA in the world, knowing how organizations work, well-trained, mild-mannered reporter. You know, I'm just kidding. But, you know, and you went into your yoga training. I was so curious how you, what took you into yoga?
Well, this is kind of interesting. So I moved here from Chicago with Alan and sold a business I had there. So I came just as a mom with a two-year-old daughter. And as time went on, I realized I didn't know that many people in the community because we just arrived here from Chicago. And Alan's brother was living in Port Orchard at the time. So I didn't even have family here. I'd left family and friends, you know, in Chicago area. Anyway, so I went to a massage therapist about maybe a year or two or three that I was here. And she said, "You're stressed. You should try some yoga to help you out." And I went, "Oh, okay." I'd never practiced yoga in my whole life before Sally. And I went to Julie James, who is a older, I mean, long ago yoga teacher here off of Vashon Highway in her home. She had classes and started taking her classes. And I was like, this is interesting. It feels good. So I asked her about some books that she might have. And she gave me books and books because there's so many books about yoga over the years. And I read them and asked them a lot of questions. She said, "You ask way too many questions." She goes, "You should do a yoga teacher training." And so I said, "Well, where do I do that?" And so she gave me a couple ideas. I ended up going to the Yoga Tree in Fremont. And that was pivotal for me because it was a year and a half. And the second half of the year, after 1 year, the next half was an internship. And I did that in Capitol Hill under Joe Leffingwell, was the teacher there. And she had a great sense of humor, which was wonderful too. But what I saw in her class made me commit to teaching yoga, which was that she had a student named David, who, like BKS Iyengar, who's considered the father of Hatha yoga movement, was deformed. David's body was deformed. And over 6 months of going every Monday night to Capitol Hill, I saw Joe, the teacher, change David's body through using props that Iyengar had developed, like bricks and straps and blankets, things like that. And to see somebody be able to change their physical body like that from deformity to normal alignment of everything was just like...
You can't fake that. That is like living proof.
Living proof of the effect of yoga over time. So I got certified by them and started teaching. And I've taught through Student Link. I've taught at the old YMCA that was on Gorsuch Road. I've taught in the top of the Blue Heron, you know, many places. And now at the Athletic Club.
Where you have such a committed following. I've attended the class. I've loved it, although my schedule is like, don't take anything else on, Sally. But when I'm there, I see this flood of people. It's like, it's not standing room only. It's, you know, Matt's room only. You know? I think you get as many people in on the floor as you possibly can because people love your class.
Thank you so much.
A real committed following.
And yeah. Stuff. And I know now, you know, and I've been doing this long enough since 1999, practice matters.
Yes.
And it changes as we get older.
Right.
So I'll get a brand new student and say, Wally, for example, just this last Monday, you know, take care of yourself. Make sure that you don't do something to injure yourself. And if you feel pain, pay attention to it.
Oh, that's
because that's
so
your
good.
Body signal saying something's not right here.
I love that you do that. And I can remember that because I know coming in as an older student myself with body issues, it's so easy to want to push yourself because you want to be able to do everything. And I know I've see pictures in Seattle of people who have perfectly formed bodies in their little yoga mats going and doing sort of, it's not competitive yoga, but it looks like it could be. But you're not about that.
No, I'm not about competitive yoga. Absolutely not.
If there is such a thing, it sounds like an oxymoron, except that I, you know, if people turn things into something else, and, you know, who knows, you know? But people seem to really enjoy the class, and also it's respectful of older bodies and the need.
Truly.
Everybody is unique anyway. And
everybody
we all
is
need
unique
to
anyway. It's really everybody's individual practice, even though I instruct. I tell them if it's painful, just do Shavasana for the whole class. I don't care. Relaxation pose.
Oh, how nice.
Just do whatever you need to do to take care of yourself because
wonderful.
You have one body here, you know, and yeah. If it's painful, then pay attention to it.
Right. Well, you have a meditation practice now, as well as whatever you might have done as part of your yogic training. You have a new meditation practice. And did you come into that because of this connection with the Indian practice of yoga? Or how did you find your new practice?
That's a great question. So after Alan died, one of my best friends is named Margaret Joy Weaver, and she lives in Arizona. And I've known her for 44 years, you know. You mean you have an old friend like that?
Yes, we all praise them. Yeah.
Anyway, I was grief-stricken after Alan passed away, and she knew it, and she came up to Vashon, and she's like, Amy, I really want you to try something to help lift you up a little bit. Can you go to a course with me? And I'm like, Margaret, I don't know. And she's like, please just try this. So I go to this course led by these teachers that now I study under. And it was amazing to feel how the grief was lifted off of my body and my shoulders and my insides about Alan's passing, and to feel some joy again.
How long did that take?
That was a 2-day course.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. And then ever since then, I've been meditating with them. And since...
That was 15 years ago, or how long ago was that?
I started in 2017.
2017, no. Not quite 15.
Yeah. And then in 2020, when everything was shutting down, we all remember really clearly about March of 2020, right? COVID. Everything is shutting down.
The world changed. Yes.
Yeah, the world changed. This group of people who study with oneness also formed what's called Space for Grace. It's a morning meditation group that meets 5 days a week at 7 a.m., to meditate together and create this field of grace, essentially, to send out into the universe. And all the meditations are provided by oneness.
Oh, amazing.
Yeah.
I'm talking with Amy Huggins, a local great community contributor on Vashon, yoga teacher, and also practitioner of the oneness meditation. Is that what we call it, oneness? Or
yes.
And I
it's O-N-E-N-E-S-S.
O-N-E-N-E-S-S. Mm-hmm. There's another, oneness. There's a Christian group called Oneness or Oneness Movement. So it's, you know, when I went searching, I have to dig a little deeper.
Yeah, it's theoneness movement.org.
The Oneness Movement.
The.
Yeah.
Oneness Movement.org.
And what are the names of the spiritual leaders behind it?
Well, currently it's the seventh generation of these.
Really?
Yeah, this family and this lineage in India, seventh generation. And the parents ran a school there, and then Sri Krishnaji and Sri Prithaji, who are married now, attended that school. And they have a daughter, Loka, who just graduated from Columbia University.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Anyway, they live essentially in India, but their mission is to have our whole planet before we destroy ourselves as human beings. Mother Earth is going to be fine, Sally.
Yeah, we're the ones who are going to miss out.
Yeah, truly. But before we destroy ourselves, they are looking to bring us together as one. Because the reality is, we aren't separate. We aren't divided. We breathe the same air. Mm-hmm. We have the same emotions, no matter our skin color, our race, our religion, no matter any of those things. We really are one, rather than I hate you and I'm going to send a bomb into your country, you know, that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. Or I hate you because you're a Democrat and I'm a Republican, you know, all those things.
All the divisive things.
All the divisive things are rooted in each individual.
Mm-hmm.
So their focus is on working individual by individual by individual to shift the consciousness from division and separation, from aggression versus peace, from hatred versus love, into these beautiful states instead. And to give you the tools to be able to do it, to shift into that anytime, anywhere that you find yourself irritated or disconnected or feeling just crazy with what you just read on the news.
Don't we need that? Well, I assume that you were meditating as part of your yoga training. Is that right? You know, because often people combine, yoga was a preparation, wasn't it, for meditation?
Absolutely.
How is like the yogic meditation that you've done different from the oneness meditation that you're now doing? Are they similar? Are they very different?
They're linked, I would say. Okay. Yes, because both have their roots in India originally, which is the Rig Veda is a text from like 12,000 years ago that talked about the seed of all creation. And that's represented now through oneness also as a golden orb. But anyway, the meditation that I learned through my yoga teacher training, and I ended up doing two of them, Sally. When my daughter went to college, I did a second one at Seattle Yoga Arts. So I have two certifications.
Oh, wow.
But anyway, it started with the yoga, having a way to calm down and be connected and rooted and steady and all those things. And then it moved into oneness in 2017. And I've been practicing ever since.
Wow. And now in July, same weekend as Strawberry Festival, having an event. You want to say a little bit about that?
Yeah. So this married couple who are enlightened, wonderful sages, they're parents, they're entrepreneurs. So they show us that you can still do business. You can still be parents, still lead an enlightened life, which is really great.
And by enlightened, it means in the spirit of oneness and able to sort of self-regulate so that they can keep coming back.
Dissolve the stress when it arises. Mm-hmm. See, with your headlight of awareness shining inside, when the stress starts to rise up, to sit down and do a little 3-minute practice called Serene Mind and bring yourself back to calm. And they say also that, and I've experienced this, and probably you have too, Sally, where you get really stressed. You don't think clearly.
Oh, no, you don't. No,
your mind goes crazy.
It's firing on all the wrong circuits.
Exactly. You know? Yeah.
Totally so.
So anyway, I'm sorry. I deviated from what we got into.
No, you're not deviating because you also, a lot of people are probably going to be saying, well, that's great. There's a lot of meditation practices out there. Why do I need another? Why should I even check this out?
Yes.
But you got me at that place where you were talking about today's world and how deeply frying it is for a lot of us. Even
for
those
a lot of
us who've practiced meditation or had a spiritual path and stuff, it's still really hard to cope with the bad news as it comes rolling in every day.
It can be.
So does this help people who do have an ongoing practice or have a religious or spiritual path, can they come in and still
absolutely
take advantage
this
of
is
it?
Not religious. This is not religious. This is worldwide acceptance of who you are, Sally, who I am, Amy. There is no judgment, no criticism about each person, just accepting the person fully as they are.
And there's a set of, whether it's tools or practices.
Tools. They have an app called The Breathing Room, guided meditations that are wonderful. They're free, and there's some that you pay for, subscribe.
And people can just bring them into their lives and integrate them into what they're doing.
Yeah, because we're used to having our cell phones with us all the time.
Yeah, we are.
Yeah. So, like if I notice, for example, on any day that I'm feeling stressful or crazy or whatever, I'll just sit down, turn on this breathing room app, go to Serene Mind for 3 minutes. It works. It's
perfect.
Just 3 minutes to bring myself back into calm.
Gosh.
And it affects you. It affects me when we connect like this.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. Anyway, this oneness.
It's a three-day event.
It's a three-day event.
But only a certain number of hours.
Each day.
So you can still go to Strawberry Festival,
It's going to be 3 to 6 p.m. for 3 days, the 18, 19, 20 of July.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to be at Lewis Hall, which is local. And it's just above the Burton Coffee Stand. Most people know where that is.
Okay.
On
is that where the Unitarians meet?
Yes.
Okay.
same place the Unitarians meet. Uh-huh. And they're probably going to have a potluck after in the typical Vashon style.
Yeah,
because it's 3 to 6 p.m.
Yeah, people have to eat, too. That's what brings us together, you know.
Right. But we want people to register because it's being presented, Sally, in over 20 languages.
Oh, okay.
All over the world. So when you go to theonenessmovement.org, put in /EN for English, mm-hmm. and it takes you right to the page to register.
Do people have to do all 3 days? Is that part of the thing?
No. You can do 1 day, 2 days, 3 days, whatever works for you. The first day is going to be on stress because that's on everybody's mind with mm-hmm. what's happening globally.
Yeah, totally.
Yes. The number 2 day is on relationships because that's at the root of that division and separation that I spoke about earlier.
Mm-hmm.
And the third day is on abundance. Waking up to the abundance that is in our lives already that we tend to ignore because we're so busy.
Mm-hmm. Do you have a oneness community here on the island? And are they helping to put it on or support it here?
Yes. We meet at the Senior Center, same place as Music Men's Minds,
yeah.
every Monday at 5 to 6 p.m.
Okay.
Yes. And that's free also, or by donation.
Uh-huh.
And we're trying to build that community also with posters around town and
Sweet.
Things like that and on Facebook.
How many are you right now?
How many people showing up? Around 12.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, that's great because it means, you know, one more thing in a busy life. So I know that's a sign of dedication that people would come on a regular basis.
Yeah, so that's the Oneness Center of Vashon.
So let's just be clear with people. If they're interested, tell me the website or the link, and we can put this in the show notes as well.
Sure, sure. It's called theonenessmovement.org/EN.
Okay.
Which is English.
Great.
Because there's over 20 languages this is being recorded in.
Yeah.
Well, it's actually live streamed. So there's two different time zones to accommodate people in Asia and to accommodate people in America and the West. Do you see?
Yeah.
So they're doing it twice every day.
Right.
Right. So they're doing 6 hours a day, getting some rest in between, doing it again, you know.
Right.
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 It's incredible. It's free.
Yeah. You know, I think sometimes people associate India with a lot of gurus and a lot of teachers. Guru and teacher, really, same word. But mm-hmm. Is it hard to help people distinguish initially what's different about this work than, you know, other spiritual masters and teachers?
There are a lot of healers and spiritual masters. You've probably interviewed quite a few.
Well, I haven't interviewed them, but I've, over time, you know, heard and appreciated.
Mm-hmm. There are. You just have to try it and see if it fits for you. It's really fit for me because of all the tools that I mentioned that they give us. They just don't assume that you can go to a 2-day course and be fixed for the rest of your life.
Right.
Do you see? Because the fact of the matter is we come up from what we grew up with.
Yeah.
Right? And also from other generations, like grandmothers or aunts or uncles or grandparents that you lived around or you experienced growing up, all those things, even the collective unconscious, flows into us. So it's important to practice every day, really.
Mm-hmm. It's kind of like what you talk about in your yoga class.
Yes.
It's practice, practice,
it's practice.
Yeah.
Because we get one life to live. We get one body to do it in on this life. And do I want to die, Sally, being somebody who is only positive because that's what I learned from growing up in Illinois surrounded by a bunch of family and this whole independence, pull yourself up by the bootstraps kind of thing? I don't know if you experienced that, but I definitely did this whole individualistic, mm-hmm. you know, and I have a grandmother whose husband killed himself during
the
World War II.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. And, or excuse me, during the Depression.
Right.
I misspoke. And, you know, she didn't have time to grieve. She had 5 kids. She had his business that she had to save. She didn't have time to grieve. So that just flowed into my family and then beyond, you know. And so it's been great to wake up to the huge range of emotions that the human body can feel, not just positivity, not just being somebody who doesn't connect with other people because I'm so sunk into myself of stress and worry.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it's great on both counts, because sometimes you think, oh, you're going to be up in the special ray where it's all sweetness and light. And you go, well, often that is a spiritual bypass that takes you out of the things that need to be healed, need to be, you know, the where you can, you're carrying intergenerational wounds. And
absolutely,
you want to be real about that.
It's real.
But you don't want to be limited to that. You want to be able to shape a life that's not just anchored in the wounds of the past, but also acknowledges them. You know, and it sounds like you're able to do both.
To honor both.
To honor both, yeah. Now, in the world of gurus, I know that there's this word that gets thrown about a lot called cult. And people love to label organizations as cults. And so when I went online, there are people who would call the oneness movement a cult. What do you say to that when people are accusing the masters or that? And I'm not saying this to be critical, because I've been groups that have gotten the same accusations. So how do you respond to them?
So there's an organization in India called Times Now, which is one of the most watched media outlets there.
Yes.
And they did a very thorough vetting.
Really?
Very thorough of Sri Prithiji and Sri Krishnaji and the entire oneness lineage of seven generations and the work that they do. I mentioned they're entrepreneurs also.
Yes.
And they found out it's completely clean.
Oh, really?
It's completely above board.
Mm-hmm.
So they let them be on the channel, and then for, they did it like every Sunday for a couple of years,
mm-hmm.
meditations through Times Now also.
Great.
In India. So it's just that I can understand you can find anything online.
You can.
You can. And you can find organizations or people that will call anything a cult. I mean, it's easy to throw a label on something.
You can throw a label, and you can throw it on, you know, rabbit owners of America, you know, if they are all speaking the same language and have a certain bent. And at the same time, there have been practices like Scientology where people have gotten hurt. And so it's important to have places like the Times Now and others who can help us discriminate.
Absolutely.
Because you're giving yourself, you know, a very tender part of your soul over to a training, and you just really want to know you're in good hands.
Yes. Sri Prithiji, the, you know, the wife of the couple, is incredibly empathetic.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
How lovely.
She's incredibly empathetic. Yeah. And a strong teacher, but also empathetic and wise. And her husband has a great sense of humor. So together, they're just a great pair.
Yeah, and they've never asked you to do something that didn't feel right for you. Or
absolutely not.
Yeah, because there are stories out there, and I'm not talking about your, you know, the one, but I just know from history of people, because they wanted to believe so badly, and they wanted to have faith, and they wanted to be healed, that they overpowered their good judgment
mm-hmm.
in certain areas. And then that kind of ruins it for everybody, because anybody has a group and then it's being accused of being Jonestown.
Mm-hmm.
But Jonestown was its own beast, and Jonestown is not representative. But it's really important to discriminate.
Mm-hmm. It is.
And also to go and see, come to Vashon and see, are these your friends and neighbors? Are these the people that you trust?
So you can check it out at the Oneness Center at the Senior Center at 5 p.m. every Monday.
Yeah.
See who we are. See if it's real. See if it's fake. What, you know.
I love that.
Whatever. Check it out.
That.
See.
Yeah.
Experience it.
Exactly.
That's the most important thing, is just experiencing it.
So good.
And then you can use your own intuition, your own judgment to say,
right.
Is this something that would help me or not?
That's so true, because like for you, you had an experience of shifting some of that tremendous grief you had around losing your husband.
Yes.
And that was real. And that really helped
real.
Your life. And you had a litmus test right there that said, this is good. I can do this.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I think everybody needs to have those experiences rather than just words.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And that's why this Oneness Global Summit is important, because it's, I know you think, oh, it's going to be on Zoom. You know, that's not very effective. But the thing is, they've worked so much with Zoom now since 20, you know, COVID beginning 2020,
right,
that they've honed it down. So by the time that you log in on the 18th of July, you'll go, oh my God, it feels so real. It's incredible what they've been able to do through lighting and technology and everything else. So the live streaming that you experience feels like that person's right in the room with you.
Right. And then you'll have, I would expect, thousands of people participating at the very same time.
There won't be thousands of people right where they're live streaming from.
No, but across the world tuning in?
They're anticipating millions of people
really?
Tuning in.
Wow. Well, and then energetically, that also contributes to what people are able to experience.
Well, they have a vision, which is also something you can subscribe to or not. But for me, it's the only organization I know of that has any hope in this world. We're not getting it from our current president.
Oh, God, no.
No.
We're getting an anti-vision.
Yeah. And this vision is that it's possible to shift human consciousness, all of it, through a scientific phase transition, it's called. Like, Sally, you see a puddle outside in the wintertime. It's got a couple of ice crystals on it. And you go to bed and you come back out and it's covered. Or fish or pond, same thing, right? That's a phase transition. And because we're all interconnected in our consciousness, once they have 0.001% of all humanity, which is currently 8 million people, living in most of their days in beautiful states, state being how you feel, your thoughts and your feeling connected together, like about 75-80% of your day in that kind of living in that beautiful state or that enlightened state, then we'll have a phase transition of all of humanity.
Wow.
We'll save this planet because we'll be one rather than divided, separated, critical, hateful, vengeful, resentful,
right,
on and on and on.
I can see why you're excited about getting the word out. You know, it's really
it's
nice to
important.
Be able to offer some people a positive vector that can really lead to a deeper level of change that we need. Don't they also have a temple in India or
also in Sweden?
In India and in Sweden,
two in the world.
Oh wow!
Yes.
And do people travel there to be a part of the
yes.
communities?
Yes,
I've
been in India. And also, I'm going to Sweden on June 28th.
Goodness.
Yeah.
Is it beautiful? The temple?
The temple in, well, it's not, I wouldn't call it a
temple. What do you call it?
The building, it used to be a Buddhist monastery. So it's those really cool Swedish buildings with a kind of swooped roofs.
Oh, in Sweden.
In Sweden.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, and 1,000 Buddhas on property, you know, the statues of Buddha all over the place.
Yeah,
it's supposed to have incredible peace just built
just
into the place.
There.
Yeah.
And how about the one in India? Don't they have something big there?
They have a temple there, I would call it. And it was built by Sri Krishnaji for the enlightenment of humanity. So there's world leaders from all these different countries and business people. Like Tony Robbins is a big fan of this work. And he studied one-on-one even with Sri Krishnaji to make sure that the work that he's doing is aligned with oneness also.
Interesting.
So
yeah.
It's pretty cool when you learn about how many people have flocked to this work. I mean, throughout America, I know hundreds of people here, too. If not thousands.
Well, let's remind people, let's go through the basics again so they can know that the one is, though I'm talking with Amy Huggins, who's offering, well, you're not personally offering, but you are inviting people to come to this Oneness Movement event in July, around the same time as Strawberry Festival, but you can do both. And it'll be held in the Lewis
Hall,
where
which is above the Burton Coffee stand.
Yes, yeah, so nice, open, nice, friendly, big room, which will be set up so that people can participate in these Zoom sessions with millions of others.
With millions of others. Millions, 20 different languages globally.
Yeah.
It's all over the world.
Yeah, yeah.
And they're just encouraging people to go to theonenessmovement.org/en to register. Because then, say something happens during Strawfest, right? And you're busy But you go, oh, it's 3 o'clock. Maybe I could log in on my phone. Because a lot of people have Zoom on their phone.
Right.
Then you have your own link.
Ah.
Because you registered.
So you can choose whether...
You can choose to go to Lewis Hall or you can do it on your own.
I get it. Well, that's great.
Yes.
That's great to have that option.
Yes.
How wonderful. You know, I just want to thank you so much, Amy, for offering a piece of light and in a way that people can move forward in such a positive way. You know, doesn't our world just absolutely need that right now?
I was at the protest this last Saturday.
Yeah.
400 people on Vashon. I heard 70,000 in Seattle.
Yeah, and 200,000 in LA.
Yeah. I mean, you know, it's great to do protesting. And I don't know if that's going to make that kind of difference. This would make a huge potential difference to reach millions at the same time all around the world over these 3 days.
Yeah. I say that to people. I go, as much as we have to fix certain problems, including getting certain politicians out of office, if we don't shift our consciousness, we're just going to be in the same kind of stinking mire.
We're going to still be suffering.
Yeah. So we have to do both. And we have a little bit of less attention, I think, on this other side of the equation, because the protests are fabulous. They get the news. But inviting people into this world of consciousness is it's doesn't generate the same kind of news, although maybe it should.
Maybe it should.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for doing this, and thank you for taking the time. I'm fascinated. So I hope it fills, and I'm going to sign up myself. So there
awesome,
you go.
Awesome, Sally. Thank you so much.
Thanks so much for listening. I look forward to being back soon and bringing you another conversation with an island creative who can show you how it's possible to embrace your muse and live your richest and most creative life. Till then, thanks for joining us, and thanks to Voice of Vashon, 101.9 FM, for hosting this show. I'm your host, Sally Fox, and I look forward to being with you soon.